Good morning, church. Everyone, fill the pews, fill the pews. It's time to worship our Lord. Welcome to our last of the year worship. And just time to reflect, as a family, we've been together 52 times this year. That's pretty good. That's more than I see my regular family. But welcome everyone online. It's just a wonderful day to be here. I like it when it's a little bit darker like this. It's not so bright in here. So let us go to our Father in prayer. Our Father, the title, Our Father, how fortunate we are that through Christ we can approach you as our loving Father, who art in heaven. Father, your throne room is in heaven, your footstool the earth, and you rule the universe. Father, you are far above all other. Hallowed be thy name. Father, to say your name in any other way but with complete respect is dishonoring how holy you are. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we wait for the glorious return of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, when all knees will bow down, and heaven will rejoice, and earth will rejoice, and we'll be in one voice, we'll be one family, all united in your will, Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, you have been so generous as you provide for us. Day after day, Father, let us not worry about our daily bread, but let us concentrate on your will, and you shall take care of all of our daily needs. And Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. Father, we see in the Bible you are love, and love holds no debts against people. That's why you were willing to give your Son to release our debt. Let us remember this always, Father, that we can be merciful and understand that mercy triumphs over sin, and mercy triumphs over our failures, Father. Lead us not into temptation, Father. Allow us to follow Christ. Let us try to walk as he did. Father, if we follow Christ, we will have no problems staying on that narrow road that leads to a glorious time with you, Father, in eternity. And deliver us from the evil one. Father, you gave us Christ, who has delivered us when we put our faith, our hope, and our love in him. Father, let us never outlive our love for Christ, our love for you. And thank you, Father, and in Jesus' holy and powerful name we pray, amen.
We're going to be reading from Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is written by Asaph, and it's a psalm of a lament. It's a psalm of grief, sorrow, and mourning. Asaph is struggling with seeing God and wondering if he has been forgotten by God or if God has left him. Have you been there? I imagine all of us have gone through struggles or hardships or illnesses, and we wondered where God was when all this was happening. Or why did he let this terrible thing happen? Asaph boldly tells God exactly how he's feeling at this time when he wrote the psalm, and we shouldn't be afraid to tell God how we feel either when we talk to him. About halfway through the lament, he remembers all the good things God has done and how God has been true to his promises that he made long ago. Then Asaph remembers that God is a holy God and no other God compares to him. And Asaph remembers how God had redeemed his people in the past and how he will redeem his people in the future. When I was thinking about this psalm in preparations for today, it reminded me of two people we lost this week who could truly say this psalm was, could say this psalm from the recent experiences that they had. Patty had been struggling with health issues for many years. She'd lost Roger in the past few years, and she lost her daughter this year. And she would wonder why these things were happening to her, and she didn't understand why they were happening. But you know what she'd always say? She would say, God is good, he's in control, and he's watching over me. I always admired that of her. And Marcos was battling an aggressive cancer for the last few years, and he was a fighter through it all. I imagine that he asked God to take the pain away and take the cancer out of his body. And he probably wondered why it kept coming back and what was God's purpose for him having to go through all that. But Marcos never stopped believing. He knew God was watching over him. And when most of us would not even get out of bed because of the weakness and the pain that he was feeling, where did we see Marcos on most Sunday mornings? Here at the building to worship God. What an awesome man of God. Now, as we read this psalm, remember a time where you felt overwhelmed and alone and wondered if God was there. And remember then how God showed himself to you in that time. So I'm going to read this psalm now as the start of our prayer, and I'll close it out with a short prayer for us as we go into this new year. So you can follow along on the screen if you want to read there. If you want to bow your head in a manner of prayer, you can do that as well as I read from Psalm 77 and close with a prayer. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago, and I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hands of Moses and Aaron. So, Father, we know that you are leading us now and that you are watching over us night and day. But there are times when we don't feel your presence and times when we think you have forgotten us in our suffering and our illnesses and when burdens weigh us down. But there are times, Father, that we want to quit trying. Sometimes we begin to wonder if your steadfast love has endured. We confess that our trust in you does waver at times, Father. And we allow the stress and the worry of this life and the despair and doubt that we have to overtake us. Help us never forget the ways that you have helped us in the past, and that you have not left us, and you have not forgotten us, and that you're waiting for us to draw close to you so that you can show us your comfort and your peace. Help us remember that you make things good and beautiful, and that you're a constant source. You are a constant source for us for strength and peace. Although things don't always go how we might imagine them, Father, or how we would desire them to go in our lives, we will continue to praise you in the midst of what we face in this life. Remind us that you are here with us, and no matter what we will face in the new year, that you will always be near to us and that you will never leave us. As we reflect back on the past of 2023 and we look forward to the unknown of 2024, we know that we can trust in you to lead us and to watch over us in the coming year. So as we go into this new year, Father, help us to allow you to lead us where you want us to go. Help us not hold back and fight against you with what you want us to do, but help us to be a willing instrument for you to use for your glory. And Father, continue to bless us with your Spirit. Help us to be aware of your sustaining presence, and help us to continue to praise and glorify you in all that we say and do. And we pray this through your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to dismiss the kids now for children's worship. So any of the children want to go down, they can follow Allison. She's heading down that way.
I'm going to be reading from Psalm 4, which is 528 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. I want to tell you about this psalm that I'm going to read here. David wrote this psalm for the director of music with stringed instruments. He wrote this psalm as a song, but he wrote this song as something of a warning to the people to make sure they don't fall into a trap which we ourselves could fall into. He starts out in this psalm and he's talking directly to God. So he turns to God. He says, God, answer me. And then he turns to the people and says, don't sin. Don't do this. And you're going to ask an important question. I want you to see that question in here and then see David's response as he turns back to God. We're about to start a new year, a year which I hope that will bring prosperity to all of us. But here's David's reminder. Our prosperity comes from the Lord. So as we read this psalm, let's take it to heart and let's remember what David is talking about. God is always looking after us. God is always watching over us. And God will provide. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Sheila. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are in your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Sheila. offer right sacrifices, and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy, and when their grain and new wine abound, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Father God, show us your peace, show us your light. Father, may our faith increase only in you and not in the things around us, Father. Father, I pray this special prayer not only that you will be on our hearts and minds, you will be in our very being, that you will help us see your grace, your mercy, and your love throughout this next year. Father, always be with us. Father, may we never lose sight of you, the true giver of our prosperity, the true giver of life. Father, we pray this in your Son's precious name, the one who died for us and gives us life because of his sacrifice. Father, I pray this. Amen.
Read together that talks to, I'm going to say, almost all of us here, as we're all Gentiles, and so we'll go ahead and read Ephesians 3. I'm going to stop after verse 13, and then we'll pray together, and we'll finish the prayer with the remainder of Ephesians. What better way to pray than with the Word of God, which is His truth? And we know that whatever we pray for in His will, He'll grant us. And so if we truly have the faith that we need to have, we can pray this with our faith and know that God will grant it to us. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been revealed now by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are in your glory. Would you pray with me? Our most gracious and loving Father in heaven, we approach your throne of wonder and awe in thanks, Father, that through Jesus you included us to be part of your family, Father. In the past generations, your people would write your word and place them on their forehead and on their hands. And today you've blessed us that your word is in our heart. We're so thankful, Father, that you have, and through the generations, used the rich, the powerful, the famous. Your son was born in a slop pen, was placed in a pen that animals eat out of, as low could be. Yet he was with you in the beginning and the creator of all things. Father, we thank you for Paul, that you used him to reach us. And we thank you for your word, Father, that's been preserved and proven and true through generations for us, that we can know of your love and we can know of your character, and we can know of your faithfulness. We can know of the way that you want us to be. We can know that you want us to be with you forever someday, and that we can be light to those around us. Father, so often we think to ourselves that we can't do that. We're not good enough. But time and time again, we can see that you can use us and you will empower us when we believe and we put our faith in you and in your love and your plan for us. Help us, Father, to get ourselves out of our own way and let Jesus lead us. Help us each day to realize that you've empowered us with your Spirit, that we can do the things we doubt in our own minds. Help us to be more like Christ every day. And we thank you, and we kneel before you, Father, from whom your whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. In Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
As part of our reading and praying service this morning, I'm to read John 17. I kind of cheated and read ahead in front of those chapters, and it's at the time when Jesus was about ready to, he had finished his service, he had finished what he thought was his mission on earth, and he was preparing himself mentally to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew what was going to happen at that point. Well, just before he went to the garden, he offered this prayer. I'll read it in three parts. John 17 has three parts. One is he prays for himself. And that's a good thing that we all should do for ourselves, to pray for ourselves for help and everything. He prays for his followers, the apostles who are with him. And they are obviously can hear him saying this prayer while he says it. And he prays for all who will come to faith in him. And this is something where he was giving the apostles instructions that they are now to take the ball, so to speak, and go forth and spread the word. They had a huge responsibility laid upon them. And at that time, they were talking to Christ, trying to understand exactly, where are you going? Why are you going away? We don't understand. And they're having a lot of difficulty with that issue. Well, anyway, I think later on they understood very well what had happened. But at this point, they were still a little confused. John 17, verses 1 through 5. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. At this point, let's do a short prayer and then continue the reading. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for what has been recorded in the Bible for us to reference and to understand more clearly who Jesus was and what he was like and his relationship with the apostles. And we understand that you want that same relationship with every one of us as followers. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, that he was here, that he completed his mission. And what a wonderful, glorious mission that was. And how he did really glorify you in what everything he did. We thank you for his teachings, how much he taught, so much. We thank you for the way he gathered the apostles together and made a family out of them, that he was with them all the time he was doing his mission. And for the authority from you, from his authority from you to do these things, that he was able to teach so much to the apostles. We thank you, and we're so grateful for that he was able to finish his work, to do what he needed to do. And Father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus being our Savior and our Lord. Continuing our reading, verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. A short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the apostles and what they did by being followers of Jesus. They did an amazing amount of work after Jesus had left. And it's to our goodness that they were able to tell us all about the mission that Jesus had and the whole purpose that was given to him. Father, we thank you for keeping them from the evil one. And Father, we thank you individually in our lives for keeping us from the evil one. We know that your spirit is with us everywhere we go. And we know that we can always lift our voices up to you in prayer anytime we like. And what an honor it is to be able to come directly to you through Jesus and make these prayers. Father, thank you for the way that Jesus had possession of his disciples in a way that they were protected, that even though they were hated, they were able to withstand all the slings and arrows that were thrown at them, and that they were able to go through what they did. Continuing with verses 20 through 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, through the world, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Let's continue our prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what was recorded in the scriptures for us. We thank you for the word and for the apostles and for everything they did. Father, we thank you that we have been called to be believers, just as the apostles were chosen in a way. We're not as good as the apostles, I don't think, but we try. We come to you broken oftentimes, wishing that we hadn't done the things we shouldn't have done. But we know that you have gathered us as sheep in a corral, that you keep us safe. That about that parable that we belong to the shepherd that we've been given. We thank you for that. We thank you for the way that we can be together and know that we are saved by you. Father, we thank you for that wonderful message of salvation. And soon we'll be partaking of a memorial of what Christ went through. We thank you for your word and how it provides a way for us to have loving unity among all the believers in Christ, that we can be together and understand exactly what each other of us faces in our daily lives, the problems and situations. Help us demonstrate your truth to the world by the way we live and the way we can go forth from here. Father, this is a new year coming up, and we are mindful of these things. Father, we pray for greater growth in our church and the community. We pray that people will move in, that we can be an inspiration to others, that would make our church grow. We would love more than anything to have, well, maybe not more than everything, but to have more members come here, to more people saved. And we would just wonder, it would be wonderful if our congregation could grow. Father, we pray that we are willing to have greater interactions among other churches of Christ. And we pray that you'd help us each individually to be better ambassadors of Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whoever we meet, help us to have that joy in our hearts. Oftentimes, Father, even myself, I find myself smiling at people I encounter, and I'm wondering why they have such a frown on their face when they should be filled with joy. Perhaps they haven't heard the word. Help us to have opportunities that we can share the word and bring others to you. I think that's something that you would truly love us to do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for any opportunities that come across in our paths to allow us to be instruments of your peace and to bring others into your kingdom. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll have two scripture readings from, first one from book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. It's on page 230, the Pew Bibles. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Our second reading will be from book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 15, 18, and then 22 and 23. 15 through 18. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Then verses 22 and 23. I'll read from 21. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and results in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Let's pray, please.
Our God and our Father, we thank you for this life. We thank you for the promise for eternity with you. We thank you, Lord, with what you entrusted us with. We thank you for all what you provide for us that makes our tasks much easier, God, because of your blessing, because of your spirit, because of your help, that we are not left fatherless. God, we are thankful for the examples of your apostles, though they were not perfect. But they did the work that you set before them to do. God, I come to my mind the zeal of Peter. God, how he was always willing to do, though you knew and you told us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But through your spirit, God, we can do. We can do what you want us to do, and you know that we are capable of doing. As you told Peter, God, when in the boat, that when they were fishing all night and they didn't catch any fish, you told them, cast the net on the other side. He said, Lord, we toil all night. We didn't get no fish. You told him, just do it. Believe in me. Believe in what I say. And after they let their nets, God, the fish that they had was so much that overwhelmed the boat that they were in. Peter's response was, depart from me, God. He was scared like us, God. We don't know how you work oftentimes. But he told him, just believe in me. And when it comes to the time for the Last Supper, God, when you wash the feet of your disciples, Jesus, Peter thought, no, don't wash my feet, God. But you said, if I don't wash your feet, you, not just you, any of you, that you have no portion with me. Then he asked, then wash me all, God. But your response was, you are clean. You bathed, and later we learned that we bathed in your blood, God, and your sacrifice that you provided. And he is clean, but the feet that toil this earth, that spread the good news, God, get sometimes soiled. And I pray, like we continue to spread, to be those feet that walk, that get dirty sometimes, needs your washing. You told us we are clean, and they are clean when we remain in you. We fear sometimes that we lost sight of you. We are left alone, but you tell us, God, the Spirit is within us, the Word is in us. And I pray, I won't say that we fail the test, but I pray that as you told Peter, that the apostles were washed. They were clean. And I pray that we don't worry about falling out of your grace, God, because, you know, we are yours. And I pray that we honor you in our lives and us in our families. We can say, as Joshua and the people with him, that we'll serve the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, and love you and love other peoples and keep doing what you asked us to do with the help of your Spirit. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray.